Breakfast with Pat and Heels on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Burbank Homes, the builder to trust. You can bank on Burbank Homes. And the Hyundai SUV sale event, it's on right now. For a limited time, enjoy $1,500 off selected Tucson's and $2,000 off selected Santa Fe and Palisades. Experience their most innovative SUVs with smart sense safety, advanced technology, brilliant design. It's the Hyundai SUV event. Visit your local showroom today, like Kia Hyundai, 1532 Logan Road, Mount Gravatt. Tristan Van Ariel is out there and he'll look after you. Well, what are you doing? You're going through with the forensic.
Well, this footy lift-out's got a lot in it, hasn't it?
On the tipping.
Look at all those. The Super Coach tipping. Mm-hmm. I'm on the second
line.
Second line. I didn't make the second line at any stage last year.
So it's only round
second
one.
Line of four. I'm there. And look at all the BMD round three. They've got all the teams there, and the Host Plus Cup teams are all listed.
Yeah, it's a very good lift out.
Corey Oates is not in there. Mm. He's not playing for the Burnley Bears.
His name's not there. Okay, no. Yeah. Well, Kevy sort of hinted at that. Kevy
Willetson's there.
Yeah. Kevy acknowledged one thing after the trip to Vegas, and it's nice to be home. They're going to get welcomed on a Thursday night with a big crowd tonight.
Yeah, they're all important, but it's nice to get back to Suncorp, particularly for our fans. Been away for the first period of the season, so, yeah, that's nice, yeah.
How many? Have you heard potential?
No, I spoke to Al Graham the other day, but, you know, they're talking sort of mid-30s, but now I see in the paper today that they're tossing around sort of 40,000 make it there tonight, which is great.
How does the West Tigers feel when that happens, I wonder? You know, they can only seat 9,000, you know, and then... You know, the Bronx pulling 30 to 40 every round.
Jason Demetrios had a bit of a chat about Jai Arrow and just the situation that he is with his shoulder. They're saying hopefully he'll be back round five, but there's a few things that
round
the medicos... they're saying the medicos have got to weigh a few things up.
Oh, it's a shoulder injury that needs surgery, but like a lot of players do, they play with it, you know. So, and I'm more than confident there's been plenty of examples of players that have played in the past with it and had it done at the end of the season or had it done in 2 years' time. So he's got great range, he's got good strength, so I'm pretty confident he'll play.
Oh, one of the Atletico Madrids has just gone down with this bad squirrel grip.
Oh.
But he's gone down as if he's got five broken ribs.
Thank you for that.
The victim's just been penalised.
Thank you for that update. While we're talking with...
I was looking for a stray elbow, but I saw him, the palm of the hand was the victim.
We're talking about the Bunnies coach. He was very strong in coming out and supporting his two players, Latrell and Cody Walker, which I think was great. There's been this running battle, if you're not across it, but particularly between... Latrell and Anthony Mundine. Mundine basically telling them to butt out and leave the Spencer Lenu, Ezra Mam situation alone. Peter Volandis has come out today as well, giving a couple of these players just a little reminder that he wants them, sure, comment generally, but not pick out particular incidents that are yet to go to the tribunal, to the judiciary, I should say, which they have now done, which I think is under the rules. That's correct. But Jason Demetrio was having nothing of that. He was backing his players and for their right to have an opinion.
Look, if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. That's my honest opinion. If you're not prepared to stand up for what you believe, then, you know, where does life take you? So what I love about this group is they support each other, and that's been the case over the last week, as it has been in Brisbane, no doubt.
Yeah. So he's basically saying that Latrell and Cody... they're entitled to their opinions on matters with such gravity as this one.
Yeah, but don't influence a trial, and don't jeopardise it. I think, you know, the judiciary or the law courts can stay very isolated from all that anyway, and stay above that.
Former player Ben Ross had plenty to say about the racism angle here and how the education process is unfolding.
I don't think it comes down to the week suspension. I think it comes down to education of a player. Robbo was right there in regards to you don't want to see some of the greatest players in our game fighting over racism talk. You need to educate and get these guys back into the game and everyone understanding. It's not going to keep happening if we educate and just continue to educate about the game at hand.
And that game's full of education. It's been going on for a long time. Yeah. All sports have, right? But I still think the Ezra emotion surprised everyone that's been educated.
Yeah. So what Ben was talking about was Trent Robinson. He again spoke passionately about his player. And they threw up the same defence that they put up on Monday night at the judiciary, that Spencer Lenu is not racist.
He is not racist. His use of language for me was on trial. You know, if you think that this is a football issue, if you think this is, if anybody can stand atop their mountain and look down on people and judge them for the way that they talk in society, then, you know, a lot of people are doing that, and that's where I have an issue.
No, but what do you call it then? So he just racially vilified a victim with his choice of language.
Yeah, which on the other side of it, Jonathan Thurston doesn't believe.
Mm.
He said using the M word, he said it should be universally known that the M word is highly offensive.
Mm.
Spencer Lenu, of course, and his backers are saying, well, he wasn't aware of just how hurtful the M word is to the Indigenous players. So, yeah, look, I think now the twain shall meet. The judiciary's made its statement. Kevy said as much yesterday. He didn't want to go on with it. He doesn't want to, you know, be asked about it anymore. What's done is done. What he was asked about, Hills, was his skipper, Adam Reynolds, who has, as we know, has copped his share of flack since the grand final and the Broncos' failure to control that last 20 minutes. So he was on the defence as far as Adam Reynolds is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of faith and confidence in Reno. He, playing against your old club, that's always a big occasion for everybody, and, you know, Reno's no different. I'm sure he'll be right to go tomorrow night and lead the side the way only Adam can lead.
Mm. The Broncos' focus has stayed clear of one man that normally is in the focus. Who would that be?
For tonight,
yeah.
Latrell.
No, in the Broncos. No, Latrell's had his moments in the press. One man who hasn't been in the press this week, Reece Walsh. He's going to blow him out. Come on. So, Reno, run him ragged, mate. Like, look at that back line. Reece Walsh, Jesse Arthurs, Katoni Staggs, Selwyn Cobbo, Dean Mariner, and Ezra Mam.
And he's got that Reno. Extra space.
Come on. Oh, imagine that. I wonder if they feel that. I wonder if they felt it at training this week.
Mm.
5 extra metres wide and a little bit longer.
Yeah. Kevy was also asked about Corey Oates, of course, for the second week. He's not within the 17.
I haven't read the paper, so I won't comment on that, do I?
You haven't had a falling out with him at all?
No, not at all.
Just
fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Mm. Head to head.
But he's not playing for Burley by the sounds of it.
No, he's not listed. 48 times the Broncos and Rabbitohs have played.
Mm.
What do you reckon their head to head might be? Have a guess. Stump Paddy.
24 Rabbitohs, 20 Bronx, 4 draws.
Yeah, 32 Bronx, 15 Rabbitohs, 1 draw.
Really?
Yeah, so they've dominated this clash, which is good. What about the next one? I noticed after looking at these sort of things, Cowboys and Knights, 44 games, 22 all.
Well, they played 44 times,
yeah.
Did they? Okay.
I just think the Broncos on paper look better than I even thought.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good side, and now they just have to play up to that. Corey Jensen comes in at number 8, and I just think, what do you think of Tevita Totala, Damien Cork, Keppel, Kaloa Matangi, Talas Duncan? They reckon he's a good player, and Cameron Murray, yes, but not as convincing as the Broncos forward back, I don't think.
Mm. Frank Panisi, the renowned football manager with the Storm, gave an update on Cam Munster, who won't be playing when the Storm hosts the Warriors.
Yeah, look, it's been well documented that he re-injured himself in the shower. Actually, had a little bit of a problem before that. It wasn't that major, but the accident he had in Fiji set him back a few weeks. Look, he's very close, but given the time of the season, the medical staff are being very conservative at the moment. If he's okay for next Sunday against Newcastle, we'll play him, but we also have in mind that we've got a bye after that game as well. So look, if he's 100% next week, he'll play. If he's not 100%, we'll probably save him and give him an extra week's rest and then come back for the following week.
Mm, You're not happy with that, eh? I noticed you've tipped the Warriors over the Storm.
Rationale is, I reckon they were up, you know, with all the hype around not breaking Bellamy's, you know, not being the jinx team that finally broke Bellamy's run of winning first round matches. They were up and they tackled like they were up for it. And the Warriors would have, a little bit like the Dolphins, copped a serious workout this week after being less than impressive in the latter stages against the Sharks the other day. So I just reckon the Warriors might come over. There's always plenty of Warriors fans, and as there is, whenever they come over. But Melbourne in particular, they get a lot of Kiwi fans in there to not support bad. Them. So it'll feel like a semi-home match for them, and I reckon they'll be ready to rumble. And not only that, I need to start to pick up a bit of ground.
You have gone a couple of unusuals.
Yeah, I know. Text from Michael. Morning, boys. The education line is rubbish. How much education do these players need? They have grown up playing with a diverse group of players, and then realizing what's happened to past teams and generations. My question is, why did he use that word or phrase and not something else? Oh, and Heels. Don't forget, this is Cody's second hit out and he will be much better. Go the Bunnies.
Oh, righto. Alex Johnson, just stand on him. Yeah. Just do not. We'll just put one person on Alex Johnson and follow him.
Mm. I've got to say, I agree with you, Michael, with the education. I mean, they've been educated about this for years. And, you know, yeah.
He hasn't been around long, though. But, I mean, when they get in the pathways, they get this education.
I'm a little bit on the Thurston thinking, and I'm not on the Thurston thinking of 12 weeks. So I think 6 to 8 weeks was the fair result. He's copped 8. So, look, that's a long time. That's a big slice of the season. But I am with the Thurston thinking that they should know. They just should know. How many more education sessions do they need to go when it comes down to, you know, how to treat your fellow human being?
Well, they'll certainly pay a little more attention in those sessions if they haven't been paying attention early season every year. Mm. And then maybe scrutinise what they're getting taught in those sessions. You know, is there a list of, not a definitive list, but a list of absolute no-nos, no area to go into. Murray comes in. Boys, the Roadie Road Meats. Roadie Meats Gourmet Kitchen Hotbox Burgers are the top shelf. And their artisan butchers are that good, they're not even missing a finger.
Thanks for that, Muzz. I'm not sure whether Roadie Meats will keep their sponsorship after that one. No, we do have another Roadie Meats voucher tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's a Friday special for Roadie Meats. So I've just been told by Jack, get the fingers ready. It'll be for the best caller.
Get the fingers. Like the butchers. Get them out of the way. But so you've sucked up to us a bit too early, Muzz.
Yes, Muzz. And it's for the caller, not for the best text tomorrow. That's on the 13 13 55 Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line, Muzz. So get ready for that one tomorrow. We'll have a roadie meets voucher. I keep trying to call them Roadie Road.
Yeah, I did too.
It's 8:17. Just before we go to the break, we haven't really heard from the mighty Cowboys, and Griffin Neame spoke yesterday at his press conference, and he's just saying, hey, we know we're getting all the raps after round one, after they put the Dolphins to the sword, but we just can't afford to start to believe our own press.
Yeah, definitely. Round one's a sort of game you want to get out of the way and just try to play a good footy and I guess keep possession and hold on to the ball. And if we play like that, it's a good sign. And we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. It's only round one, but it's always happy with a game like that.
Good player, isn't he?
Definitely, that'd be nice. Yeah, any game where you have zero missed tackles is a good sign. And I'll be working with all our coaches on trying to keep that. And there'll be times where I miss a few tackles, and especially in big games. But it's not going to worry me. I'm just going to stay focused and try to do that every week. And if that happens, then it's a good sign. Yeah.
Oh, zero tackles.
Yeah, zero missed tackles.
Is he staying clear of a few? Oh, not going in there. I might miss that. Don't want to see him cover defending in the corner and just not trying to tackle.
Matty's just come in quickly. I agree with Michael. He's spot on re-education. What a load of rubbish. Everyone else in society just learned it from having the right moral fibre. Why a rugby league player needs a special education program so they know what to say and what not to say at the right time for them is, they need to start to act like adults. Yeah, Matt, agreed. Yeah, but they, look, in saying that, yes, you sort of just know, don't you? It's common sense. But all the clubs, I think, regardless of code, are put through, you know, how to handle themselves in public and the pitfalls they face in public by being, you know, in inverted commas, celebrities when they go out. So, you know, in particular, the Reece Walshes and that, the big stars, they come under increased scrutiny. And there's always someone wanting to have a, you know, have a little crack if they've had a few too many beers. So, yeah, they have education programs, Matt, and you're right, they should know. It's 8:19. Breakfast with Pat and Heels on this Thursday morning, powered by Kubota. You can take on any job with Kubota's mowers, their tractors, and their Land Pride attachments. Time for the dig, Heels. Before you dig, lodge a free inquiry online. Don't dig blind. Search Before You Dig online. Every time, byda.com.au. Who's digging first, me or you?
I'll start you off because I sense where I know you'll go. You'll dig, and I'll start in the same topic that it's a textbook separation in golf that no one had any conciliatory thoughts at the start, and too many loudmouths said, you know, we have Greg Norman has to leave before this thing gets solved. Rubbish. I'm digging at all those people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've done quite a bit this morning again on the racial vilification. We've spoken about it ad nauseum, and our listeners have had their say that basically they should know. I mean, the education process and the common sense and moral fiber should tell them what they can and can't say on a football field. So I thought, yeah, I'd go down the golf route again, and I know I've spoken about it a little bit today, but, yeah, I think just from a fan point of view, let's get it done. Let's sort it out. I mean, it's so sad that we see an event the size of this. They've thrown a stack of money at it, has the PGA Tour. So $38 million in prize money this week at TPC Sawgrass, $6.8 million Australian to the winner. It's serious stuff. We've got a full field of 144. We've got five Aussies starting, but we haven't got our best Aussie starting. We haven't got Cameron Smith, who has now slipped down to 54 in the world because he's contracted to leave. And he knew, even though he's a champion on this course, he knew that this was going to be one of the penalties of not being able to go there. But, you know, the PGA Tour Chief, Jay Monahan, says negotiations are accelerating. Well, I think, you know, I can only hope that I speak on behalf of most golf fans out there that, look, let's get the acceleration going to sort of warp speed.
The snail's gone into second gear.
Yeah, and let's get it done. Let's get these two entities back together and get a championship where we play for nearly $40 million this week, and we've got the likes of Cameron Smith there. We've got the likes of John Rahm, et cetera, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. We've got them all playing against the Schefflers and the McIlroys of the world.
Well, you've got to get them out of America. Who does the PGA think they were? They were the US PGA, weren't they? And now they're the PGA.
Yeah, they go to great lengths when you deal with them. Say, don't say US PGA.
Well, why not? PGA You're still sport. All in US. So they've got to get around the world, like the Formula Ones. They've got to combine and get a global tournament set up going. 30 tournaments globally, not 50 in America.
Yeah, look, I think one of the sticking points too is this team golf, whereas LIV are very big behind the team golf and they want to sell the franchises. That's the way they've seen to make some money back from the, you know, incredible expense that they've already gone to buy players and put on tournaments around the world. They want to sell the franchise, where I don't think PGA Tour are quite as enamored
of having the team golf. You stay in America. We're going around the world.
Which they're doing.
We're going to go around the world better than we are now and play a team golf privately owned, like Formula One.
And as Corey McKernan was saying, like, the only time we're going to get to see these absolute top guns is at the four majors now, because they're still allowed in to the four majors.
Because of their exemptions.
Exemptions, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, very few of these LIV golfers remain inside the world's top 50. Where they get automatic invites to all the big events. So, yeah, Cameron Smith, by virtue of his British Open win, John Rahm, by virtue of his US Masters win, yeah, they'll be there for quite some time playing the majors. But, yeah, big events, like the one that we're about to start later on tonight, is lacking quite a bit of pulling power. It's I don't know what you think. I mean, I'm just, I don't know, perhaps I love my golf, and I know there's a lot of golf fans out there that love it as well. And right at the moment, near the twain shall meet, even though Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour boss, is telling us that, you know, the negotiations are accelerating.
Doesn't know anything about negotiations and this separation issue. He had no idea at the start.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, look, we've got to hope that that it can get done sooner rather than later and we go back to some sort of normality. Suncorp Home Resilience open line, 13 13 55. That text line is 0467 736 736. What do you think on a number of issues that are going on in sport at the moment, as there always is? We'd love to hear from you. Coming up very quickly to 8:30. And we will have Vanessa with the news, the sport, and the weather. We had Matty Rogers on earlier talking league and very, very enthusiastically about the Reds. So let's go to Reds lock forward, Ryan Smith, joining us now. Morning, Ryan.
Morning. How are you going?
Good. Things are going beautifully, mate, aren't they? Third on the ladder. You've rolled You've rolled the Chiefs. It's things are happy down at Ballymore.
Oh, no, it's a really great place to come in at the moment. It's a great environment. You know, we're pretty lucky. We got some new facilities, new coaches, and even some new players down here. So, yeah, it's a great vibe.
Yeah, and I sense, Ryan, that, you know, you've had 4 years in maroon slash red. I feel many of your teammates are right in the prime, just about to really continue to enjoy that success.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've sounded a little bit like a broken record the last 4 years, banging on about how much of a young side we are, and I don't think we can quite say that anymore. You know, there's a lot of experience and a lot of guys, you know, either having had already 50 caps or nearing towards 50 caps. So yeah, we've got some experience on our side this year, and we're going pretty well, and it's just a great place to, really enjoyable footy, and it's great environment.
And we see as well, you know, with selections for this week, that there's depth in this squad too, Ryan.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's something that we've built on, and you know, the guys in the top office have done a great job building a big roster there. And you know, we've just always talked about, especially in the forwards, that you know, we want to be the best forward pack in the comp, and we want the second best forward pack in the comp to be the guys we're training against every week. So yeah, we've really been pushing pretty hard at training, and come out of some trainings pretty bashed up, but it's just serving us well.
Mate, and I read that Les is really basing your attacking flair on very sound defence, making sure that that's down pat.
Yeah, 100%. We're sort of talking about how the defence can serve our attack, you know, if we're comfortable and trusting in the guys next to us, that, you know, we can fill the field pretty well and be pretty spread out in defence and, you know, work hard for each other. Then if we're lucky enough to get a little turnover or something there, that we're already in really good positions to attack rather than, you know, having a scramble and take 2-3 phases to get into a good shape and into a good rhythm. You know, we'd just be able to turn around and start attacking straight away. So, yeah, it's been a great philosophy and been working well.
Yeah, and you've got the athleticism to go with it. We've just been talking about Griffin Neame from the Cowboys, who had zero missed tackles in a game. You've done it for three rounds, 43 in a row.
No, going pretty well there with the tackles, but it's something we've been working on, and just trusting the guys, and it makes it easy to make your tackles when you trust the guys next to you that you know they're going to fly in and help you out with them. So it's been good.
Hey, I know you big forwards hate to talk about the backs because you couldn't care less about them, but tell us a little bit more about young Harry McLaughlin Phillips.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I've got him next to me in my locker, so we spend a bit of time together. He's just a really good, humble kid, and he's keen to learn and really hungry for knowledge. And you always see him sitting next to James O'Connor, Lawson Crichton, Tom Liner. Those four guys are always sort of sitting together and bouncing ideas off each other. And he's a really great kid and just keen to attack it all. And he puts everything into it. He's definitely not afraid of the physicality stuff too. So yeah, we've got a bit of respect for him there. He's pretty tough kid.
Yeah, he comes in at the expense of Tom Liner. Do you see that as a bit of management, keeping them as fresh as they possibly can for the whole season?
Yeah, I think so. I think Tom's been doing a great job, and Harry likewise off the bench. So I think it's just purely at managing those guys, and you know they've both got some really good strengths that the other may be working on. So I think Les is lucky in the fact that he can kind of use them in tandem and kind of pick and choose which kind of attacks style is going to work best against the team we're playing at the weekend. So, yeah, it's been a real luxury that we've got some real depth in those positions and two class guys, James O'Connor and Lawson Crichton, who are there to back up if needed as well.
Hey, any talk about Taniela tomorrow night?
Oh, I think just trying to stay as quiet as possible about Taniela. I don't
want to set a fire in his
belly. But, oh, 100%. Yeah, it'll be really good to play against those guys. You know, we've trained together for a long time, and I'm looking forward to playing against them.
You're dead right. I mean, we all know that the financial dramas that have beset this club, and yet they've won two out of three. It has to go into the category of a little bit of a danger game, just with their mindset alone, I suppose, because they're almost under siege, aren't they?
100%. You know, they might as well throw everything into it, you know. It's only going to serve them later down the track in the season. And they've got a really great roster. And, you know, similar to what we're seeing is they've got some great depth and guys able to step in. And, you know, they've been doing great stuff there. You know, same points, same wins, losses as us this year, two wins, one loss. So they're in a great position as well. And they got the home ground advantage. So it'll be a great game. And the pitch down there serves fast-running rugby. And you might see some cramps in the later end from that muddy deck. But it's a good atmosphere in Amy Park.
Imagine if Taniela cramps up in the calf. Man, that's a big cramp. Yeah. That's a big cramp.
Take about 6 physios to get through that.
Well, I was so interested to see. Look, in Salakai Loto is playing for the Rebels against you as well as Taniela. I couldn't believe when I found he's 27. I thought he was older than that.
Yeah.
He's just come back from England. Is that right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I was really lucky when I came into the Reds. Luke Kahn was the starting lock here, and I learned a lot of stuff off of him. And then, yeah, he got over to Northampton and played a season or two there. And then he's come back and, you know, he's spent a bit of time in the Wallabies camp as well. So, yeah, mate, he's a test lock and be a really good battle there in the middle. He's really experienced and, I got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, well said. Scrummaging interests me. You know, the amount of work that goes into an actual scrum in the contest. I can only imagine what you have to go through at practice. You know, what are the priorities when you are practicing scrummaging?
Yeah, it sort of changes a lot. There's lots of things that go into it. We kind of do a lot of preview about what the referees are actually reffing and what rules and laws they're picking up and just really trying to paint good pictures to the referees, you know. I'm not going to knock the refs, but, you know, sometimes they're backs and halfbacks and things, so they might not have been in a scrum, but we just got to paint the pictures that they're really looking for. So spend a lot of time in getting really stable setups. A lot of the time they're looking to the teams to be really settled and stable before the hit. So, yeah, spend a lot of time purely just doing setups, which is a bit nicer than slamming into each other. But then, yeah, at the same time, you've got to get it time under tension and we're trying to look to scrum as long and as strong as possible. So, lots of time under tension there with the two packs going at each other at training.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Yeah, well, it's been a highlight so far for the season. Hey, now, just very quickly, you'll be looking at ticking the box with a win over the Rebels and then jumping on a relatively early flight on Saturday. So you're back for this Australian Club Rugby Championship. We had Ben McCormack on the show yesterday. It's going to be a huge day at Crosby Road.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I think there's a country game on, so that'll be good fun early. And then the Canberra v West game will be a cracker as well. There's some old brothers guys coaching in the Canberra team as well, so it's a bit of a brothers reunion. And then, yeah, the big one, Brothers Randwick, will be an awesome game. Can't wait. I think I'll try and be on my best behaviour coming back from Melbourne so I can get a good spot and a good seat.
It's going to be at a premium, I understand. And they tell me, as I mentioned, that the likes of Paul McLean and the legends of the game are down there manning the can bar, mate.
Yeah, they're usually up the top there in the Hobbits Bar. It's pretty bit of a spin out when you first go down to Brothers. And, yeah, exactly, Paul McLean or Tony Shaw or someone's cooking your sausage and hands it to you. It's a bit of a spin out. But, yeah, it's just you get pretty used to it because they're there week in, week out. So it's an awesome club down there at Brothers.
Yeah.
All right.
He's ironing his apron as we speak, I reckon.
Be ready. Yeah.
Hey, good stuff, 100%. Ron. Great to chat to you. And, yeah, look, it's just lovely when you get a winning start to this. Everyone wants to give you a little pat on the back. You've just got to keep it real now for a while, haven't you, and keep on going and doing what Les and the coaches want of you.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we can't get ahead of ourselves. It's only week three, so we need to put on back-to-back performances and keep doing it. You know, we've got a couple games on the road now, and then before we're back at Suncorp. So, yeah, as many fans can come out to that Suncorp game as possible, it really serves us well.
Good stuff. A good one to look forward to, this one.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Go well tomorrow
night. Thanks, guys.